Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamer Tag Radio episode 1509. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me, we have Rihanna Manuel Pena. What's up, Rihanna?
Hello out there. Yeah, I'm really excited for this one. We have a very special guest today.
Yes, definitely, definitely. We have, for the first time, because I know we interacted before, social media, we have Matt Piscatella, Senior Director, right, at Circana?
Yeah, I think that's right, covering the video game space, yeah.
Definitely. Hey, how you doing, Matt? How's everything?
Great. It's so cool to be here to chat with you guys. Hey, everyone in the chat. And there's a lot to talk about. This is a wackadoo time we're living in the video game world.
Yeah. I mean, how should we start with this, Rhee? Because it's just been complicated, like the whole past couple of years, especially the past couple of months with just prices. You know, let's talk about that, Matt. Recently, you know, Sony announced a price increase of the PlayStation 5. I know this is, I believe, the second time this has happened now. What's next now with this industry? Because I think as of right now, the cheapest console now to buy is the Series S?
Yeah, so at Circana, which is where I work these days, used to be the NPD group, mm-hmm. We've been tracking this stuff since the 80s. Is how long the data goes back. I've been doing this like 10 years. This is the most insane time and most uncertain time in that history and in my 20-something years in the games world. Like, the uncertainty is off the chart. So when it comes to what's next, I don't think anyone really knows. Everyone's just kind of holding on to see what happens in the areas like RAM and component parts, what happens around fuel, what happens around wars, what happens around everything. So it's just, there is so much happening that trying to have any like solid take on what happens in a week, let alone a year, mm-hmm. it's super dicey.
And scary too at the same time, you know? And before we ask this question, because I saw this actually the day that was announced at the price increase. This is from Matt on Blue Sky. Matt, I really want to know about this, about lower income households may be removed entirely from buying consoles now. What you can tell us about that?
Yeah, so you know, we do all types of consumer tracking and where people are. One of the things we do is we have this thing called a receipt panel service. So folks will join in and they'll share all of their receipts. And then we can track things like household demographics and who's buying what and what they're buying things with. Anyways, we go back quite a ways on this, and I've been treading this for a while. When it comes to video game hardware buyers, the people who buy Switches, Switches, whatever the multiplier of Switches, PlayStations and Xboxes, that type of thing. If you go back a couple of years, say the first part of 2022, the first quarter of 2022, January to March, 40% of household buyers of video game hardware were from households that had incomes of $100,000 or more. By the fourth quarter of last year, that had increased to 53%. And on the other side of that, for those households that are making less than 50K, those households have gone from accounting for about a third of the market to under 20%. So even coming into this year, we've had this rapid growth over time of like higher income households having a bigger presence in the video game world in terms of the dedicated hardware market, as like less affluent households and younger consumers have more chosen mobile and more readily acceptable devices or readily available devices. So what we risk doing here with all of these price increases is really targeting a very small percentage of the total market, the affluent or the super dedicated, they're going to sacrifice things like food to buy video game stuff. Like it's not a great place to be, especially for like that console and higher end video game market.
Yeah. Mm. When you talk about that and if it's okay with you, if we just kind of use a broad term of a K-shaped economy, yep. growing larger and larger gulf between people who are purchasing things and people who are forgoing, who is that customer? As you're saying, like, it's a smaller and smaller percentage of the population. And we've heard folks like Phil Spencer and other executives saying that growth is just not happening anymore. What is the plan there? Like, how does a company find more customer base when they're restricting people?
That's an absolute, that's the perfect question. That's exactly the right way to think about it in terms of the K-shaped economy, which is the haves making up for the have-nots in terms of what's going on in the marketplace. So what's happened in the market overall, like that whole 2020, 2021 period where everyone started playing games, that was all of the market growth in terms of the people playing, and they played for as long as they wanted to. They spent all they wanted to. And ever since then, it's been extremely difficult to find organic growth in terms of players, right? Because everyone's been playing for a while that wanted to play. So if you want sales to grow, what can you do? You either grow your audience size, or you have the audience you have spending more per person, right? And that's basically where the industry has leaned into. And now you throw what's happening now, where everyday prices in things like food or shelter or insurance or you name it, gas high, as those have gone up, the people who don't have as high a household income as some others are really struggling to get by on the basics. And they're pulling back on spending from video games or clothing or car maintenance. Like, they're pulling back on those spending areas to just concentrate on paying the rent and putting food on the table. So we're targeting more and more this smaller group of people that have the money, because they have the money and the prices keep going up.
I mean, is that going to be enough though?
Oh, that's the big question, right? Like, in my opinion, no. You further concentrate into a smaller audience, and that just kind of compounds over time as your younger players and your less affluent players are playing Fortnite or Minecraft or play something on mobile, free to play. Like, they're not engaging with the market as it was like 10 years ago when people were buying a console and buying a $60 game. Like, it's just changing. And how do you replenish this aging audience on the consoles? How do you replenish that audience with new people if it's too expensive for them to participate? It's quite a pickle.
Yeah. And we've had this conversation, especially Danny, with our co-host Paris, who has teenagers. And, you know, in addition to that anecdotal perspective, and also what we see in trends, is younger people aren't as dedicated to consoles or even hardware in general. They play games wherever they have something already, usually mobile or a tablet or something like that. What is your thought on sort of the gray space for new business models, right? Like, we see a lot of streaming. We see a lot more ad-based streaming platforms starting to come to the market. Is there room for something new to kind of inject some life and some hope for the people who are just trying to make games and reach people?
Yeah, I mean, there is room, but what is that thing, right? If I knew what that thing was, I'd be out making it. And not talking about the market, right? We have seen subscription spending continue to grow. That's been a combination of price increases and players looking to stretch their gaming dollar, find more value, find more things to play. So we have seen that area of the market grow. That's come at the expense of like those full games on PCs and consoles, right? And as hardware prices go up, you're right. Perhaps things like cloud become a bigger part of what hasn't really been a developing market to a great extent in a lot of parts of the world, although there are some parts of the world like Brazil, South Korea that have adopted cloud more readily than, say, like the US has. But as these hardware devices get more and more expensive, these companies are going to have to get more creative in trying to incentivize people to play cloud via subscription, via whatever screens they have. Like, that's what Xbox's whole push was there for a while. And who knows what they're doing now? Like, it's all kind of up in the air a little bit. But you're right. Like, how we get that next generation of players is the big question. How do you pull them out of Fortnite and Minecraft and Roblox and get them into playing anything else? It's a huge challenge.
Yeah, and also TikTok and all these other platforms too, that the kids are using that more than actually playing games too.
and sports betting and prediction markets now and all of that madness. Yeah, because they're all gamified. It's not that dissimilar, but the stakes are a lot higher on mm-hmm. some of those other things.
Yeah. What is your prediction now with, you know, with Valve, with the Steam Machine? How's that going to affect with everything that's going on now? And also with Project Helix, that's supposedly going to be releasing next year.
Yeah, we have both Helix and PS6 in our 27 Outlook, but I really want to move it out, but we're holding it for now. I think everything is up in the air in terms of the timing. I would just, you know, we could see $1,000 plus devices. People shouldn't be surprised if that happens, although I would hate to see it. It's in the cards, especially for a device like Helix, which has already been like talked up as like a performance-based device. And with Steam Machines, like we're already supposed to know everything about pricing and release timing, and we don't because the world. So, you know, I bet there's a whiteboard somewhere, or virtual or otherwise, up in Washington that has a whole bunch of prices crossed out on it as they try to figure out exactly how they're going to bring this thing out. And the big question will be, like, how many units can they actually make given what's happening with things like RAM and other component parts? Like, they might not just be able to make that many of them. So all bets are off. Like, I have forecasts, but when I show them to folks, I kind of laugh and say, you know what? The error bars are large because there are so many known unknowns, and then we have like a new unknown showing up every day, kind of messing things up. So, hell, man, anybody's guess is probably as good as mine right now.
Yeah. A couple of things, too. Like, I could see also Nintendo raising the price over the Switch, too. Like, I know people weren't happy. They weren't happy when they announced the price last year, right before the launch of the console. Do you think that's something that we're probably going to see from Nintendo? Because now Sony did it, Xbox, and maybe Nintendo will be next.
I mean, I think they're going to want to hold off as long as they can. And whatever products, and I don't know for sure, but my take is, you know, for the units that are made, for the units that they've already purchased components for, I'm not anticipating a price increase. But once they have to start shelling out more for components to make these things, they're going to have to. Eventually, if things don't chill out. I would love for anything to chill out, but for this particular thing, memory and component prices have to chill out before we can see some stability. So yeah, I don't think the only question is when, in my opinion, but we'll have to see.
And like thinking of the sort of like the big three, right, that we usually talk about, taking PC for as much as we can out of the conversation between the strategy that you mentioned of Xbox putting their software everywhere, PlayStation trying to make their hardware number one, and Nintendo really focusing on brand. You know, that Mario movie may get to a billion faster than anything we've ever seen. Who's making the best bets here? Who's winning?
I think surviving is winning right now.
Yeah.
Another fantastic question and positioning of how you're thinking about it. It's exactly how I'm thinking about it too. Everyone's placing different bets, right? That's what makes things interesting right now. Back in the day, like everyone was just Cube and Xbox and PlayStation 2 were all kind of battling for the same market. Now it's a different world, right? Everyone's got their own kind of angle on it. I was a little surprised to see PlayStation pull back on the PC thing because they need to expand. But of course, new leadership, former hardware folks, like I can see them. I can see why they're trying to retrench that. Xbox has invested in all of these things, these alternative ways of playing. But even they're starting to talk more about like centering on the console, which I don't even know what that really means yet. Who wins is going to depend to a great extent on what happens next in the macro economy, in the geopolitical situation, in the component situation, and in the AI data center situation. If it gets worse, if all that gets worse, then the folks who have invested most in cloud probably are better off. If that chills out, then the folks that have invested less probably do better. And Nintendo, they've been like, they've taken the most broad appeal, like you mentioned, of just trying to not have to rely so much on their gaming group to drive their business. And that might end up being the smartest there. But yeah, everyone's kind of taken a different bet. But how that plays out, I don't think anyone really knows.
Do you think the companies releasing games multi-platform like Xbox, that's something that's going to work, because seeing the charts that Sorcana released for the month of February, I still see Helldivers 2 still doing good on Xbox and also on PC. Do you think that's a mistake, Sony not releasing games on PC? Because, you know, like a game like Sorrows, I think that could be something that might be a big hit for them if they also release on PC, not just on PS5. PS5.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to find the balance of making sure that their established console base that they're winning in right now is taken care of, and that audience is very happy because that's the most lucrative audience, right? But at some point, if things continue and we're looking at $1,200 consoles at some point, you have to pivot, because you have to get the content available to other folks to give you money for it, or else your audience is going to be very, very small, right? And that's a very difficult balancing act. I can see why they're doing it right now, as they want to basically, you know, put their lead in this particular area of the market in concrete mm-hmm. over what Microsoft's been doing. But eventually, if things continue as they are, that's going to have to change. So I get it, but I also think it's risky on its own as well. But again, it's like every day is something new. Like a month ago, who would have thought gas prices would be where they are today, right? So God mm-hmm. only knows what a month from now looks like. The U.S. consumer is now spending over $12 billion more on gas every month than they were a month ago. And those dollars got to come from somewhere. And those gas dollars get tacked onto everything from food to shipping video games, or shipping physical Nintendo video games, which now cost $10 more. So yeah, man, wackadoo times.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see the stats of the sales numbers for the month of April with all these changes that have just been happening the past couple of weeks. Like how much that's going to affect like the sales numbers of like games on multiple platforms, you know? So it's going to be very, very curious to see that from you guys.
It will be. I mean, the PlayStation price increases that were announced aren't really flowing through to retail yet. They're still selling their old, or the systems they had in inventory at the other price. Mm-hmm. You know, those prices will probably go up once they start bringing in new units. The higher price on Switch physical software, I mean, that just opens the door for every other publisher to do the same. And I expect many more publishers to start doing the very same thing that Nintendo's doing. How's that going to impact that market? Yeah, I mean, in terms of huge changes, like we're in the middle of some pretty massive fundamental shifts in this market that we haven't seen maybe ever, or perhaps like the last time it was close was 2013 when we had mobile, the app stores really kick in. But what we're seeing right now in terms of what difference right now is going to make to the future of gaming, like this is it. Like we're in the earthquake right now, and I don't know where we come out on the other side.
Well, one of the things we will have hopefully soon is Grand Theft Auto, right? Which used to be the biggest news in games, but maybe some other recent developments have superseded that. But in your opinion, what is this impact on GTA? And assuming it is not going to be cross-platform for some of these consoles.
It has to come out, right? Like eventually? We've been talking about allegedly. It for years. It has mm-hmm. to. They have to release it. They eventually. Will it be this year? I sure hope so. But it's Rockstar, and if they need another couple months, I'm sure they would find a way to give it to them, but I don't know. We still expect it to be the biggest entertainment launch in history. We still anticipate that it's going to drive incremental sales of consoles and accessories and subscriptions. Perhaps it won't be as big a bump as it would have been if the consoles weren't like $900 for the PS5 Pro. But we'll have to see. But yeah, we should still see that having a positive impact. In fact, we're still projecting growth for the video game market this year, despite everything happening because of both Grand Theft Auto 6 and the Nintendo Switch 2's second year. But again, if that gets moved out of the year, then, you know, of course, things change a little bit, but it's Grand Theft Auto 6. It'll be the biggest thing ever. But, you know, what's the impact to the rest of the market because of it? I mean, that's, I think, a bigger question than it was, say, 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm. And do you see that? I mean, you've already described maybe it's tapered or at least tempered a little. Do you see that knockdown effect sort of with other franchises that used to be sure things, like a Call of Duty, which has now fallen out of the first spot? Like, what does that say? Is that a bellwether for all of these tentpole franchises that we're used to seeing at the top of every chart?
I think what we're seeing is that the games that win are winning bigger, but they're fewer than they used to be. And everything else is struggling. Like, if you're not in that winning position, you're probably not in the best shape, because of the zeitgeist of the market seems to move more strongly now than it did a few years ago. So you have to hit on everything. No matter what franchise you are, you have to hit your marketing message right. The game's got to be right. The price has got to be right. And then you got to hope that, you know, there's no one influencer that throws everything off at some point, right? So everything's got to be perfect to hit. But if you do hit, you're hitting bigger. But everything else is a little dicier. So, I mean, that's my read on it. Looking at the data, looking at the history of some of these franchises, like Resident Evil Requiem, biggest Resident Evil ever. But like you mentioned, Call of Duty took a big step back because they just missed. Battlefield 6, biggest Battlefield ever. You know what I mean? Like, so we have these situations where some games come out and do so well, you're like, oh my God, everything's cool. But then you look at the 10 other games that came out and you're like, I don't know.
And then they lay off a number of people on the team.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Because of the accelerating costs and like, okay, well, what do we do next? If dev cycles are 7 to 8 years in this market, how do you say, okay, we'll spend $400 million to make this game? Like, that's an awful big bet.
What about, you know, I know earlier I talked about low income households. Do you think that's something where they, instead of buying the new consoles, they're just going to go with like retro, old games, old consoles, because that's like the cheapest one they could find right now, instead of buying the new ones? Is that something you think that market is going to grow more now because of the changes?
I mean, yes, but probably not be super significant. Like, if you hop on eBay and look for 3DSs right now, like, I think you'd be, you probably wouldn't be surprised. You probably know, but like, for the regular player, if they go on the eBay, look for a 3DS and look at some of the prices those are getting on eBay, like, yeah, there's a demand for that. And of course the Zoomer population is really on a retro kick at the moment, like with flip phones and more analog stuff. So there's a little bit of that as well. But I think what really is the big difference is that younger players, they, generally speaking, they don't care about the high-end graphics like the millennial audience really wants to see for the most part, on average, speaking generally. Like, they're much more open to playing games that look really rough because they've been playing Minecraft and Fortnite and Roblox growing up. And like, the high-end graphics don't really matter. So I can see them really continuing to stay in these Minecraft, Fortnite, Roblox buckets, or the games like Peak or RV There Yet that are getting these big surges and especially younger players, because the games are cheap, they're easily available, they run on anything, and their friends are there. So I think that could be more prevalent, as well as just these games that don't push the limits like we used to want to see with every big game.
Yeah, one thing I definitely... we're probably going to see in the future is the people that already bought the current consoles, they're definitely going to stay with it as long as possible now, because they're like, there's no purpose for them to buy the new console because it's so, so expensive, right? So I can still see companies still making games for those, you know, current consoles now too, instead of just focusing on the new ones, right?
It would be extremely risky to make a big bet on next gen, especially when, you know, everyone said 2027 is the year, but it's not necessarily if conditions continue as they are. Like, you're just not going to be able to source the components. So like, if things get better, then maybe we see them in 27, but like, you have to make all those bets now. And, you know, how would you do that reasonably and want to keep your studio or publisher house open, right? It's not. I'm glad I'm no longer in publishing. These are extremely tough choices to have to make.
It sounds very stressful. It's very stressful behind the scenes. I can imagine. Yeah. Rhea, you have any other questions?
Yeah. So you know, having the POV that you do and such a broad understanding from being on so many different sides of this equation and for so many years, what would you say to that, let's say, AA studio head who's, they've got a really cool game, it's not multiplayer, is there still space for them? Can they still do it?
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing outlier success from that segment, right? Like, Clair Obscur is like the poster child of that type of approach. There are a few others that have really broken out from that part of the market, but it is a little bit like winning the lottery, especially because we continue to see the exponential growth and the number of games being released as, you know, more and more folks just start making games on their own with self-publishing tools. So it's a very crowded market. It's very difficult to be discovered. And that's getting a little bit tougher as we go. And God forbid, generative AI actually starts to work and gets more games out there or floods the market with that kind of nonsense, then it could even dodgier. But yes, there's absolutely room for that. So like a very conscious cost approach, and then making sure that the messaging is right and the getting the word out there is done right. But of course, that's way easier said than done. Kind of, again, like you kind of have to hit the lottery. It's possible. And if you hit, you're hitting big. But, you know, it's very tough to hit.
Yeah. You know, I'm a huge fan of Marathon, and I've been playing that since launch. What do you have to say about that game? Do you think that's a success for Bungie and also for PlayStation with this game? Because it's been getting great reviews from the media, right? And also from the fans. But is it enough?
It's so an enthusiast video game player's game, right? Like the people that love Marathon, they're like so into video gaming. They're so into the tension, so into the world and the environment, and they love it. And from that respect, then I have to imagine they would consider it a success, because I think they hit on what they wanted to hit on. The challenge is that the breadth of audience hasn't, like the mass market hasn't shown up for it quite yet. Perhaps it'll get there. So I think it's probably a little half and half on that right now. I'd have to imagine, I don't know for sure, but I have to imagine they would want a bigger player base at this point. But in terms of what they've put out and the way that people really love the game, who love the game, you got to feel good about that.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of a lot of things. So besides people trying to get into that type of genre, but it's also because I've been seeing the you know, there's been more successful, it looks like, for the PC version than the console version. And it looks like people are just probably not into the whole paying a multiplayer for them to play games instead of playing, you know, on the PC version, which you don't have to pay for a subscription service to play online. Do you think that's also a reason too? Like, do you think that's something where, you know, Microsoft and also Sony might make those changes in the future, like have it for free to play online?
Well, yeah, I mean, you can play Fortnite for free, right? But you can't play everything else on the consoles for free. That's kind of weird too. I think it's becoming a bigger deal now than it's been, especially given what's going on everywhere else. And if you look at like the PC, concurrent user charts for Steam are all over the place. Like it's the currency of the conversation online because they're available numbers. But I think it paints a distorted picture of the entire market. On Steam, you're right. We are seeing games really, and this goes all the way back in recent times, like Helldivers 2, which was a very PC forward game as well. The players on PC, the players on Steam, they're more quickly adopting new games than the console audiences right now. If, you know, we publish every week our list of, you know, most played games in terms of total weekly active users on these platforms. And on PlayStation and Xbox, every single week, Fortnite, Minecraft, Roblox, NBA, Call of Duty, it's the same games. But on the PC chart, every week you're going to see something new. You're going to see things move up and down. Slay the Spire 2 was number one for us a couple weeks ago. So I think there's a combination of factors there, but really, you know, perhaps that enthusiast audience has begun shifting a little bit more towards PC, the ones that really want to try new things and try a bunch of games out and Whereas the console audience right now is very much like, I'm just going to click on that comfort game and not worry about it. And that's a little concerning to me as well.
Mm. We have another question or no?
Yeah, kind of just to wrap it up. And we've touched on it in a few different ways. Like, is there one game audience now? Or is it so fragmented that it's just hard to even get our hands around anymore?
Yeah, over 3 out of every 4 people in the U.S. plays video games. Now, like, some of them are just mobile gamers. Some of them are, you know, whatever. But yeah, like, everyone who wants to play video games is playing video games right now. And you're absolutely right. It's not one audience. Different folks want different things. We've identified 6 core persona types for players, and they go from everything from what we call our incidental players, where they're playing their mobile game while they're waiting for something else in their life to happen, and then all the way to the super gamers, which are like the ones that are probably watching this and everywhere in between, right? But yeah, the wants, needs, what people really want to do or get from gaming, it's very different. But when we're looking at something like Steam, yeah, that's going to lean more towards your enthusiast audience, your consoles, more your mainstream. And yeah, you're right. Like, that, they're kind of working out like that.
Mm. What are your thoughts about Crimson Desert? That's been a huge success, not only on PC, but also on consoles overall.
Really interested to see how this goes over time. It's been an interesting game to watch, just because the player response and the critical response have been pretty misaligned. And the people that are really into the game are really into the game in a sometimes kind of off-putting way. But yeah, off to a great start. It has a very core, enthusiastic audience. But another one of those games will be interesting to see if it can break more into that mass market audience. But yeah, so far it's sure chugging along, sure.
Yeah. What are your predictions for this summer? Anything that you would like to see from all 3 major companies, of like announcements, anything like that for the summer that probably will get the industry and the fans excited?
Yeah, we need some good news.
We need some type of good news, right?
Knack 3 and 1 versus 100 comes back.
1 versus 100.
Hey, I love that game. That's a classic.
It was in a slide. I'm just saying, it was in a slide. You know, I'm so probably in a way that's not good for my mental health. I'm so focused on the cost issues, especially in the U.S. I'm so concerned about dollars being available for this stuff going forward. Like, I want to see RAM prices come down. I want to see some positive news on pricing for products. I want to see something happen that helps us expand the audience, right? So that's what I would love to see. In terms of games, like, the fun part, well, I don't know, fun if you're not a forecaster, but the fun part about this market over the last 4 years, it's been driven by surprise. Like, games that come out of relatively nowhere, like PAL World, like, what the hell's PAL World? Oh, it's the biggest thing in the world for a few months. What is Peak? I don't know. Oh, Peak's the biggest game in the world for a few. That's what's exciting. So a few more of those big surprises would sure help.
I know this year is the 25th anniversary of Xbox, right? And there's going to be multiple big games coming out this year. That's Forza Horizon 6, Halo remake, right?
Fable.
And Fable, and also Gears of War E-Day. Do you think that's going to be enough for people to go out there and buy these games and maybe buy the console because of all these big games that's coming out from Xbox? Or is it not going to be enough for the company?
It depends on pricing and availability. Like, the Series X right now is a pretty expensive box, whereas if folks have a PC that's relatively good, they'll probably be able to play there. And so it'll be interesting to see what portion of the audience, what subscription growth they can get, what portion of the audience splits towards PC. Is it going to boost console? Maybe a little bit, but I don't know on that. I think it's more the alternative play patterns. That's the real opportunity there. And then what happens with Call of Duty? Because, you know, those are all big games you mentioned, but Call of Duty if that could do something at the end of the year, then that could be the biggest change for the entire brand. But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. I hope so, man, because I'm very excited for, especially for Gears of War E-Day. I'm just excited to play that game. But I hope everything works out for the rest of the team. All right. So, Matt, my last question. What's next for you and the team? What's next for you guys?
I'm holding on by my fingernails to see what happens with the K-shaped economy. I've been spending a lot of time talking to retailers and publishers about what's been happening. So I'll probably be doing that a lot more. And, you know, we're digging a lot right now into areas of spending around things like grocery, mm-hmm. things like utilities, like things was happening with the new tax laws. So, like, I'm deep in the weeds on stuff that's not super exciting for the common video game player.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. No, Matt, I just want to say thank you for joining us and talking about everything that's happening in the industry. And I hope we get to see some type of good news, man, because it's just been it's going downhill, you know, almost every day. And, you know, one of the things I always talk to my co-hosts is, like, the era of the old consoles being like $199, $299. Like, I just don't see these current consoles going back down again. Like, I think it's just going to stay like that. And plus, the new ones that's coming out is going to be more expensive. So, like, that part is just scary. And, you know, as a fan, I think like a lot of people are going to miss out because they're just not going to have enough money to buy these products, you know? So,
yeah, the only way that could happen is if they really do figure out cloud to an extent that they can really appeal to more folks, that, you know, we can get rid of some of that lag. You know, speed of light's a thing, but, you know, if they can continue to prove that thing and we start getting more processing done on the back end that would allow devices that are customized for that experience to be a little bit less in terms of mm-hmm. price than, say, something that needs to have a processor in memory. But yeah, we're not there yet. I love my Portal, but that you're not playing Marathon on a Portal, right? But, you know, perhaps eventually we get there, and that would be the only way I could see prices getting down to that level again. But that's probably not ideal for most people that want to play games natively on a device, but, you know, we'll see. Hey, anything's possible. If the AI thing doesn't work out like a lot of people expect it to, then all of a sudden you have more capacity for other things, perhaps too much. Who knows, right? Like, anything can happen. But yeah, I agree. I'd really love to see some super positive news coming out. But we'll see what happens.
All right. Thanks a lot, Matt. Everyone, make sure to post your comments and feedback. And hit us up, fanmail at gamertagradio.com. Thanks, Matt.
Oh, thank you guys. It's awesome.
All right.